Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, a life issue perhaps, well, we'd like to hear from you right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast, top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and the number to call, 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard.
Hey, Bob, thank you for that introduction. I just want to remind people, if you weren't paying attention, yesterday was Memorial Day.
Yes.
It's a really, really special day in this country. In some ways, it's more important than Independence Day,
yeah.
I think, because this is what we've done for 200-plus years now to defend that freedom.
Yes.
And just thank you to all of you who have served, and those of you who have lost family members, our hearts go out to you. Thank you for your sacrifice. All this month, we've been looking at the ramifications, the meaning of the resurrection to all of us. And so today, I want to dive into something that usually brings fear and trembling to the hearts of those who are listening. And I'm going to go into Revelation today.
Can't wait.
let the arguments begin, you know. And I'm just going to stay in chapter 1, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but there's a reason for this. So hang in there with me. Chapter 1 starts off this way. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all he saw. So one thing you need to know about Revelation is stated right there in the very first phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Once you get that down, then a lot of things fall into place. Well, we're going to skip ahead a little bit here to verses 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. Well, why would he say that? Well, let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Move down to verses 17 and 18. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos, and he heard this thing, this voice, this overwhelming thing,
yeah.
And he turned around to see the voice. It's an interesting way to put it, to see who was speaking. And he saw who was speaking, and it frightened him so badly that I fell at his feet, verse 17, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." So why could John, in verses 4 and 5, talk about this great blessing we have,
mm-hmm.
if he hadn't been there when Jesus was raised? Talked to him, saw him go back to heaven. And two, when he's on Patmos, Jesus himself shows up in his glory.
Yes.
Knocks John down, comes over, grabs him by the shoulder with his right hand and say, "Don't worry.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Yeah.
I'm the guy. I was dead,
mm-hmm.
and I'm alive forevermore." Now, let's move back to verse 3. "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." So what is one of the ramifications? What is one of the results of the resurrection? It's that Jesus himself gave John this prophecy through angels. It was mediated and all of that, but it has to do with what's coming. And what's coming is guaranteed because Jesus is alive forevermore. All of the horrible stuff that people want to talk about in Revelation is nothing. I mean, it's important. Jesus talked about it, explained it,
mm-hmm.
and then left it there. But over and over and over again, all through this prophecy, Jesus or one of the elders or one of the beasties or one of the angels, somebody is pointing your eyes back to Jesus. And in this third verse, the very key to understanding Revelation is revealed. Blessed is the one who reads aloud. So read this prophecy. Sometimes it helps to read it aloud to yourself, because otherwise you go, really? I can't believe that. Yeah. Read it aloud to yourself, listen to it, and then keep what is written. And that word keep is in some contexts a negative word. It's the word that describes a prison warden. Mm-hmm. What does a prison warden do? He watches over prisoners. Okay. Well, in this case, what we're keeping watch over is Jesus himself. So this is John's way of saying what the writer to the Hebrews said back in Hebrews 12 when he said, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is alive forevermore. He told me so. I was here. He touched me. He told me I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. Therefore, pay attention to this, gain hope from it, because Jesus, the one who was dead and is alive, will never die again,
right,
guarantees that our future is assured. That's a benefit of the resurrection.
That's a benefit, an assured future. Thank you for those thoughts, Richard. Very, very good. As we get underway today with Basic Gospel, everybody, glad you're here. And friends, if you want to see this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ expand to many new areas, just like we do, Richard and Bob and Greg and all of us here at the ministry, well, we need your help to be able to do that. We have to take care, of course, of what we have now, what God has given us in the here and now. And Richard, we've got some exciting news to share in that regard.
Yes, we do. We're coming up to the end of our fiscal year. It ends in June, next month. And a group of our most faithful supporters have gotten their heads together and put together a $35,000 challenge grant.
Yeah.
So they've promised $35,000 if all of you who are listening will contribute to that $35,000 to make it $70,000.
Yes.
That's a big chunk of change, and we need a big chunk of change right now.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some things this morning, and there have been so many people who have already donated this month. It took a step up, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're so thankful. We have a ways to go. And this $35,000 challenge grant is going to help us get there.
You bet.
If you will step up like they did, and any amount that goes toward, Basic Gospel, toward the proclamation of this gospel that we were just talking about, the absolutely alive forevermore Jesus Christ who guarantees your future, that's what people need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a chance to make that possible. Thank you in advance.
And we hope that you'll go to basicgospel.net today, click that big prominent donate link, and we would love for you to partner with us and help us meet this $35,000 matching gift. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story, his journey from legalism to grace, called What's It Worth? So we hope you'll go online today if you can. Again, to Basic Gospel, click donate, and we would love for you to be a part of helping us get this message out to as many people as possible by every means available. So again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Open lines 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to discuss with us, a life issue, or perhaps just a question, well, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. And Richard, in the meantime, we are going to go and hear from Joy in California.
Yes, this is Joy from California. And I wonder if you have some kind of advice or suggestion for me how to get rid of childhood fears and hatred that I have towards my mom. My sister and I grew up under very abusive conditions by this mom of mine. And the hatred sits very deep inside. I'm not able to get a hold of it. And I'm old. My mom is gone a long time ago, 11 years ago. And but of course, that doesn't do away with the hatred. I have to deal with the Lord regarding it. And I have for 5 years, every morning, mentally and verbally handed it over to the Lord, asked for cleansing and for a replacement of kindness and gentleness instead of this hatred. But my sister has the same thing. She's not saved, so she doesn't know what to do with it. But I'm saved, and I feel I need to get rid of mine before I die, and I could die any time the condition my body is in. So I would appreciate some answers from you that are practical in my situation. You know, I pronounce forgiveness on my mom, but it's not deep enough. It's like I can't get a hold of my deep-seated stuff. It's just mental, and I mean it. I mean, you better mean it when you forgive before the Lord. Otherwise, you can't receive His forgiveness. So consequently, I'm living a very shallow Christian life. But if you can help me, I'll be glad to listen to the answer over the radio. I listen every evening to you guys, and it's great that you are on. I really appreciate your insights and the way you explain your own walk with the Lord. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Joy, yes. Glad to hear from you. And there's a lot there, Richard.
Yeah, there is. We normally don't play a call that long, but Joy explained so many things so cogently, we thought it was important to hear the entire call. So let's go through this. Facts. She lived with an abusive mother her whole childhood, she and her sister both. You can't do anything about that. It happened. Okay? Some of you have been through similar things.
Sure.
These things happen. So admit that, and we got to move from there because it really occurred. And she said that she couldn't get hold of the hatred, that it's so down deep inside of her that she can't get hold of it to rip it out. Remember that point. That's an important point. She feels like she needs to deal daily with the Lord. She gets up every morning and prays about this. She asks for cleansing every day. These are her words.
Mm-hmm.
She says that, I mean, after all, as a Christian, don't we need to forgive in order to be forgiven? Okay. If she doesn't deal with this, is she as forgiven as she needs to be? And therefore, another fact statement, my walk is shallow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, abuse is real. The shallow Christian walk is real. How to deal with this stuff? Okay, first of all, Jesus died for every sin once for all. Even your mother's. Okay? Your mother sinned against her children. There's no going back. She's dead.
Right.
But it happened. Jesus died for that sin. That doesn't mean Jesus saved your mother. He died for her sin. But unless she accepted him, that forgiveness was just left on the table unreceived.
Right.
Because forgiveness is received in Jesus Christ. But the forgiveness was offered once for all, for everybody. That means that if I'm harboring hatred because I was abused, first of all, it's natural, right? It's a natural human tendency to hate the situation and the people involved in abuse. And if I can't get hold of that, it's because I'm not supposed to get hold of it. And the more I think about it, the more I try to get rid of it, the more I will become consumed by it.
Absolutely.
Okay? And so rather than asking for cleansing, here is a practical suggestion. Thank God in Jesus that you were saved from it at some point in your life, physically removed from that situation, whether you grew up and ran away or whatever, however it happened, thank Him that you no longer live in that situation.
Yeah.
That you're not thanking Him for the situation, you're thanking Him in spite of the situation. Secondly, you do not need to forgive in order to be forgiven. That is old covenant thinking.
Indeed.
In the Mosaic covenant, you had to forgive in order to be forgiven. Why was that? Because the law of sin and death superseded Mosaic law.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. All of us were dead spiritually, the whole world. Moses' law was given in order to identify a people through whom God could work. He didn't work by law through them. He worked by grace through faith through them. And they didn't go into the promised land because they were such wonderful people. They went in because God had promised them. If it had been dependent upon them keeping the law, they would have died in the desert, every one of them. But it wasn't dependent on their keeping the law. Now, getting along with their neighbors, having a civil society, all of that depended on the law. Just like our civil society now depends on the law.
Certainly.
Their salvation depended on God's promise. The promise did not or was not superseded by the law. So don't say that I can't be forgiven if I don't forgive. That's a law statement.
Sure.
Listen to the promise. In Christ, you have received redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's a fact. Treat it as a fact. Hold on to it as a fact. Fix your eyes on Jesus instead of on your hatred. Let the Holy Spirit, who right now indwells you, do the work that only He can do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Philippians 1:6, God is going to finish what He started in us. He doesn't want you tied up in hatred. He doesn't want you tied up in guilt and what-ifs and all of that. So let go of that. Leave it in the past. Say, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that situation. Thank you for your forgiveness that is now mine. And Joy can say that and her sister can't. There's the tragedy.
Sure.
But Joy can say, thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you that your love supersedes the hatred that I feel for my mom.
Yeah.
Let go of it. That doesn't mean it's going to go away instantly, but let the Spirit deal with it. And trust me, I've heard stories like this many, many times. There have been pieces in each of our lives that kind of sounded like this. And when we quit trying to tear the bad stuff out and instead let the truth of God replace the bad stuff as only He can, then there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is Jesus, and He is running toward you. He has been since the beginning, coming after you to comfort you, to give you courage, to give you the love that you need, to give you an identity. You are a child of God. You are not the abused child of an abusive mother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You were abused by an abusive mother, but that is not your identity. Do not let Satan keep calling you that. It's false. Jesus is true. He's dealt with it. Let Him do this in you, and I guarantee you it will get better over time.
Joy, there was a lot in your question, and is there a lot in Richard's answer? And I'm going to suggest something to you that we normally don't do, and that is, because there was such a long exchange here, we want you to be able to assimilate, to fully absorb everything that came from your question. So after we put this program in the archive, go to the archive and play this answer over and over. Let it sink deep, Joy, because this is very important, as you know, or you wouldn't have called with this particular question. So, Richard, thank you for the clarity of your answer.
And anybody else wrestling with this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let it sink in.
Indeed, indeed. And you'll find the program when we archive it just shortly after the program goes off the air. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Those of you who hear this good news every day, we ask you to help us move this message forward, because not everybody gets to hear the freedom and grace message that we have every day in the Lord Jesus Christ right here on Basic Gospel. And because of this great matching gift offer that Richard was talking about just a few minutes ago, you can double the impact of your gift right now today. Now, that offer is for $35,000, so if we match that, it becomes $70,000. So, friends, please help with your most generous gift today. Let's fill up this excellent offer and have your donation double in impact. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story, What's It Worth? So please make your gift today if you can. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, we have this call also that came in over the weekend.
Hi, this is Ray from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I have a question about John 5:16. In the last bit of it, it says that there's a sin that leads to death. What is that sin that he's referring to? That's it. Hope you guys have a great day. And God bless.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Ray. The sin that leads to death is unbelief in Jesus Christ, period. Every other thing comes from that. All of the sins we normally think about are the result of unbelief. And we think of them as bad things. Oh, I cursed today. Oh, I got drunk today. No, anything that comes from unbelief is sin. So if you were a minister and brought 10,000 people to Jesus and you did it in your own strength out of unbelief, every behavior of yours bringing those people to Jesus is a sin. Right. Now, they got saved.
Yeah.
You need to come to Jesus. Okay? And it's a little bit of an overstatement, but that's what we're talking about. That's what John is talking about here. This sin that leads to death is, you can't pray for it, but you can lead people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, have you thought about who Jesus is and what he has accomplished on your behalf? Remember, the people who were unbelieving in John's first letter were people who were absolutely denying Jesus.
Right.
He's not God, or he's not human, or he's neither. I don't sin, so why would I need a Savior anyway? That's a pretty active form of unbelief. Mm-hmm. That needs to be challenged. God knows what to do with those people. If he brings you along and asks you to help, then help.
Yeah.
But be very careful when you're dealing with that. So the sin of unbelief, specifically unbelief in Jesus, is the sin that leads to death. We had a YouTube question that came in from Morgan. How can I deal with lust? You deal with lust the same way that we ask Joy to deal with hatred. Stop focusing on the lust. I'm a guy. I'm 66, old enough to know better. I can still see a woman walking down the street and go, hey. and I know that's stupid. Don't do that, Richard. But if I do that and then I start beating myself up, what am I thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
The lust.
Right.
As Joy had problem thinking with? The hatred.
Right.
It's no different. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit, if you're married, let the Holy Spirit explain to you how to love your wife as Christ loves the church. If you're not married, let the Holy Spirit explain to you how to relate to a woman in an honorable, faithful, gracious way so that a relationship can grow. That's the only way to do it. If you're sitting there going, oh, man, don't lust, don't lust, don't lust, don't lust. And then Satan will say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm lusting, I'm lusting, I'm lusting. Don't go there. You can't win the battle of sin.
Right.
You can only put yourself in the hands of Jesus Christ, who fought that battle and defeated Satan utterly, totally, wiped him out. And all we're waiting for now is the final end of everything, and we get to go home with him.
Yeah.
If you're a child of God, stop fighting lust. If you're not a child of God, stop fighting lust and become a child of God. And then both of you can keep your eyes on Jesus and allow that life to change you from the inside out.
And it is a beautiful thing. And Morgan, thank you for posing that question. We love hearing from our Facebook and YouTube listeners, and Morgan was one of those. So thank you for that. We do stream live video every day, both at Facebook and YouTube. We'd love for you to be a part of that growing number. Friends, keep in mind, as we said before, that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep the good news of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on the air and online. And your gift today will count double because, as we've said, this is an excellent matching gift offer of $35,000 that's on the table right now. Every dollar you give will be matched up to that point. Double. So please help with your gift today. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right on the homepage. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail at number 844-322-2742, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.